is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news. Smart talk all day. Joining me this morning in studio is Mr. C.A. Newry. We're going through the news again. Got some questions around a duty of care. But to start the show, I've got some housekeeping to do. First, let's start with the Sand Dollar on the Clock giveaway live read. We're giving away sand dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday, you can be a winner. We are going to continue the competition on Tuesday of next week. Another quick note, we want to say good morning and happy independence to our brothers and sisters in Barbados. Good morning, everyone. I say good morning to all the Bajans in the Bahamas, all the people of Bajan descent. A good morning and happy independence.
Bim.
Because it's almost a Friday evening. Ba-dum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
But I just realized that that's what they call him.
Yeah, Bim. Bim. And that's the song?
Yeah.
It's a Friday evening.
Bim.
And we're happy to celebrate.
Them?
Ba-dum, ba-dum, bum, bum. You don't know the song, sir?
Yeah, because it's Friday.
You can only sing that song on Friday.
It's only a Friday morning.
So you're telling me we can only sing Johnny Camp Just Got Paid on a Friday?
Yes.
Okay, then.
It makes more sense. On the weekend.
We need rules. I don't mind. We need rules.
Yeah. Please continue. Happy Independence Day for Barbados.
Right.
Are they really independent?
Are any of us really independent?
There you go. That's squash that.
You know, at the national level, at the social level, at the familial level.
Is there a need to be independent?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think there's a need for us to learn to live together.
Yes.
That's more important than independence.
And share resources.
Absolutely. Yeah. One planet, one people. We also have to say to our Bajan brothers and sisters, we hope everyone is well and safe after the recent earthquake day before yesterday that hit near Barbados, just off the coast of Barbados. And we are glad that everyone is safe in Barbados. Now, I got another quick note. The HHT Family Association November General Meeting. It's taking place tonight, Thursday the 30th, at St. John's College Auditorium at 6:30 p.m. Hope to see everyone there. We are planning for the August 2024 family reunion.
Oh, so it's August next year?
Yeah, 2024.
Okay.
It's going to be a good time. And for all my Acklands people, we want to say, I don't know what you say to sailors. You know when actors are about to perform, you tell them break a leg. Mm-hmm. That's what you have to say. That's your... Do a good show is break a leg. What do you say to sailors before they hit the ocean?
Sail good.
I guess so. That's what we could say. So all of the Acklands people in the Bahamas right now say to the crew of the Barbarian number 5, sail good. At the best of the best this weekend at Montague Beach. We all supporting you. At the same time, I do have a note. The fishermen and the cleanup men, the vendors, that are normally on Montague Ramp, have raised concern this morning. I got a message via text, Mr. Newry. I'm going to pull it up quickly. This is what the message said. Someone sent me a message, said a couple of people stopped to ask about the traffic situation at Montague Beach and the fishing area, I guess with the setup for Best of the Best. Apparently, the fishermen were locked out of their space without notice. And the Sailing Association has all the space exclusively on the beach, a public space. That's the text that was sent to me. I know that the best of the best is happening. I hope that the organizers of the regatta didn't forget that there is a permanent fixture. There is a permanent fixture called the Montague Ramp, where people go out every day to make money to take care of themselves. They've been there for decades, and I can't imagine that an event was planned without taking them into consideration. I also can't imagine the changes were made, A, without consulting the Ramp Association team, B, without disseminating all information to all vendors. So we're talking about a duty of care, right, Mr. Nuri? And my question is constantly, do those in authority, do those with responsibility, understand the scope of their duty of care to the stakeholders they work with, to the stakeholders in the space they're working in, and to the general public? And often we find out that the people that are normally in a space are the last set of people who are considered in policy and decision making. I'm a bit upset about this because the vendors on the ramp have been waiting patiently for the bathroom on the eastern side of Montague Beach to be repaired and reopened. It's a vital piece of infrastructure that they need to be able to do their jobs properly and to adhere to the rules that have been applied to them in that space. Too often, we forget about the people we serve. I want to touch on a story I found in today's paper as well. Education Minister, we need to revisit corporal punishment, because that is definitely a space where we forget who the primary constituents are, and they are the students, and they should be centered in everything. We may touch on that for a bit, but Mr. Nuri raised the topic of duty of care, so I want to let him, because I've done with my little housekeeping, I want to let you sort of expand the conversation.
Well, I appreciate that, yeah, right? There are a number of persons who would say that the Bahamas is in crisis,
mm-hmm.
that there are a number of things that we need to do in order to fix us, to get us on the right path. And I'm saying that there are millionaires here into the Bahamas who should, you know, when the Spider-Man saying goes, with
great power comes great responsibility.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a biblical quote that says that if you are blessed, you have a duty to take care
mm-hmm.
of people.
And Corinne Mitchell say, when you're smart and you're intelligent, you have a duty to use your intelligence for good and not for evil.
There you go. For weeks, months, maybe for the last 2 years, we've been talking about a housing crisis
mm-hmm.
in the Bahamas. Some would say we have an educational crisis in the Bahamas, and even a social crisis in the Bahamas. But we have the tools here locally that we can solve, or if not solve, start dealing with the mm-hmm. issue, right? Recently, I've been noticing a trend of persons with money and great influence are now doing feeding networks.
Mm-hmm.
They provide Thanksgiving food. And of course, they get the cameras and show that off and brag and say, see, I am helping Bahamians.
Because it's not charitable without a press release.
Yes, right? And I'm saying that there's a saying that you teach a man how to fish and not necessarily feed them. But I'm saying that those with money are now seeking out charitable contributions instead of trying to fix our problems here inside the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my case in point. We have mega millionaires, and I'm going to call them, say, number men at this present time,
mm-hmm.
who makes, if not tens of millions of dollars per year benefiting off the backs of us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not selling goods or working for services, but basically their wealth is coming from us,
mm-hmm.
right? And they, one or two of them, have housing schemes for upper class Bahamians,
mm-hmm.
right? One or two of them are building condominiums for tourists.
Hold the line, caller. We're coming to you in a moment. Just hold the line. I'll let you know when we're ready for you.
Okay. One of them are building house, what they call it, second homes for tourists.
Mm-hmm.
But we are having a housing crisis where we need affordable housing
mm-hmm.
for working class and poor Bahamians, especially when we have Bahamians living in shantytown.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have a news article where the government has put 18 Bahamians or Bahamian citizens.
Government leasing 18 rooms for Bahamians displaced by shantytown demolitions. That's the headline.
And when I see that, I get frustrated, right? Especially when we can... See, I've seen them... And actually, I don't like spending people money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about saying I'm jealous of people's wealth. But you have a duty of care to people who you get your wealth from.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if you are able to afford it, instead of giving away TVs for Christmas, mm-hmm. instead of giving away...
That could easily get burnt up in a BPL surge.
Instead of giving away used Japanese cars for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
a simple housing scheme where, with your resources, with the same money you spent, you can get 10 rental units built mm-hmm. cheaply. Especially when you have a construction company,
mm-hmm.
right? Why aren't you not doing that?
Why are you focused on charity versus structural reform?
And that's the conversation.
Premise
today.
Of the conversation. Yes. All right, let's go to the caller, and then when we get back from the caller, I want you to continue to expand. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, Ms. Green. I'm trying to get out of here to go to our lunches. Ms. Green, you know, I watched a clip on the news the other day. They say down in Guyana, this guy was speaking out. And similar to what Mr. Nuri is talking about. And Guyana is one of the richest countries in Southern America because of the oil and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But all the Exxon and them are making billions of dollars of this little country down there.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in Guyana, where all the oil's coming from, are some of the poorest people in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And they climbing over fences and walls to steal underwear and shoes and tennis off the lines of millionaires in Guyana, while the government and the politicians live off the fat of the land. The people who should be getting them the natural resources and the wealth from their own natural resources, just like the Bahamians. When foreigners come in our land and live off our land better than we are, you know what I could see happening in the future? That's how I feel. I might not be here on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But watch it like Loftus Roker said, and I keep saying this figure, 11 million people in Haiti. If 1 million of them come to the Bahamas, where we only have 400,000, we don't even have 500,000 people in the Bahamas. If 1 million people come to the Bahamas from Haiti, the Bahamian society is gone, and we'll be the next group of people trying to build boats to get to Florida. We'll be running from the Bahamas just like the Haitians running from Haiti. Because they will take over us one night we go to sleep. They will be, they already tell us more of them here than us now. That's what they're threatening now, is more of them in Abaco than Abaconians. And the more we break down shanty towns, where the people go? The other people are saying, when the government break down the shanty town, it's the Bahamian responsibility to take care of them and their children, who we sent to the clinics,
it's not
who we sent to school,
Sparky.
We got right here. Because they say they're born in the Bahamas. They can't go back to Haiti because they never been there. What are the Bahamians supposed to do when these people infiltrate us and take over our country? I'll hang up and listen.
Why, thank you, Sparky. I want to say they're going to run to their employers, the people who are employing them. Right? What you do, you go to immigration, you find out who the employer is, and you say, hey, employer, you have a duty of care to your employee to ensure that they are in safe, government-approved housing.
And this is our conversation. Who has the duty of care, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have mega millionaires. It's a social media post circulating.
I saw that.
Where they have a list of mega millionaire and say, who's the richest Bahamian? Mm-hmm. And they have all kinds of names. I'm not sure if it's accurate or not.
No, it doesn't appear to be right? accurate.
But the money that they are calling off, right? If these persons pool their resources together, they can solve our affordable housing issue.
Overnight. Yeah.
And when I'm saying the housing, because I was talking downstairs and they have houses, mortgage corporation have houses for $180,000 available for low-cost homes. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, no, that's not what we're talking about.
I'm talking about affordable rental units that people, behemoths who are living inside these shanties, mm-hmm. behemoths who living inside cars, behemoths who having 12 people living in a one-bedroom, two-bedroom house, right, can say, I can come up with a first and last month rent of $1,200 and move in.
Yeah.
That at this present time does not exist. And clearly the government is unable to do it. So therefore, we need the man of the church. We need the man of our millionaires to finance these things.
All right, let's... Oh, I want to respond, but we got to go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Good morning, C.A. Neary.
Morning, sir.
Everybody's so right on point this morning. Even it seems like the morning blend ties right into the show, which all you and Neary talking about.
Yes, sir.
The bottle is already there in Freeport, you know. It doesn't have to be, because ain't everybody could be able to afford homes of their own.
Mm-hmm.
But Freeport have the high-rise model apartments.
Okay.
200, 300 apartments in high-rise that's well manicured and well kept. We could utilize because we're running out of land space in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So the model is there. It's just the unwillingness. But the problem, the question we need to ask is, who's looking out for us? Who's looking out for the Bahamian?
Mm-hmm.
Who truly is the kind of Bahamian? I heard Alfred says this morning, opining nicely and gratefully for the immigrants, mm-hmm. that the detention centers and stuff must be 100%. They can go for haircuts. They can have 3 meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
All conditions must be A-OK.
Mm-hmm.
While Bahamians, have sewer and feces raining down on them daily today as we go for dialysis. Who's looking out for us? Who's going to stop the unit to have it properly sanitized rather than sending us in there understaffed in harm's way while it rained down every day? If you go in there now, ZNS, Eyewitness News, everybody go in there. Look in the room. The tapings are the plastic. All the chairs are out. The machines are covered. But we got to go in there for dialysis every day. Who's looking out for us? And the Haitians could get a haircut and 3 meals a day when we can't even take a sandwich. Our doctor tells us we can't even take a sandwich in there to eat on the machine for the sustenance of life. Who's looking out for us? I'll hang up and I'll see if anybody could tell me who's looking out for us. Thanks for taking my call.
No, man, absolutely, caller. Absolutely. See, I don't want to compare the two, right? I want each to stand on its own. But let's start with PMH and a duty of care. What you said just now, 20 years ago, I would say it was unbelievable. But we know. We know. And a duty of care, what's the duty of care of wealthy people in the Bahamas? What's the duty of care of wealthy politicians? Politicians who could afford to go. Imagine you were a politician and you could afford to go to doctor's hospital because of the tax dollars that make up your salary.
They fly away
but
now.
But the people who pay taxes can't afford to go to doctor's hospital.
They fly away now, Aaron. They call doctor's hospital local. So that's for the middle class. They are the political elite. And the political elite, the millionaires that we have here, the businessmen that we have here, is betraying the Bahamians in general. And we, as Bahamians, need to challenge back and push back. Like, the Big Bang? The Big Bang will come. Oh, let me make this thing.
Yeah.
This Big Bang will come in for the Christmas. We say, no, I ain't coming to that. You need to invest in small, low-cost housing for Bahamians. I don't care about no television.
So
I don't care about the flat screen. I don't care about the $400 in my numbers account. Do a low-cost housing, but you have a company who could do it, and help Bahamians. It's a betrayal.
Okay.
Especially when you're getting honored internationally, saying that you are taking care of the youth and as the best philanthropist in the world, and you said, okay, what have you done?
Hold on, that's what they said.
What have you done for Bahamians? Tangible.
Pause for a second. Let's go to these callers. Ooh, boy, sealing up my mouth. Good morning, caller.
Y'all need 3 hours for yourself, man. Good morning.
This conversation today, morning, sir.
That's right. Good morning, Esther. Two quick points, y'all. I am shocked to wake up that the Minister of Education is talking about corporal punishment. I disagree with corporal punishment in school because a lot of our teachers have social ills, and a lot of our principals have social ills in society. How they can administer corporal punishment? Do you remember the incident and in the newspaper, go back to history, where one of the teachers lose control and punch a student out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you all remember that?
No, but thank you for reminding us.
So, the Minister of Education know about that, I believe, but I know about that. I hold it in Uri.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why they throw corporal punishment out of the government public school.
But Pumpkin, did you read the article this morning?
No, but I heard the news. I heard the Guardian news on the radio.
Because when I read it, what I took from the article is that the minister is attempting to remove corporal punishment from the schools.
Well, there's another, in Parliament yesterday, there was some attempted to put corporal punishment back in school. I hear this word attempted. Now you go see that article on the newspaper. But what we need is management type of system in the school, what they have, what you call timeout and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Where with the guiding council, training basic psychology of being awakened, and because you know the United States get rid of corporal punishment a long time. They use psychology to deal with the children,
mm-hmm.
and so on. The other point, you're dealing with detention center.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to remind the public, detention center is not a prison.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place where some migrants running for refuge from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't need it, some need it, but some do need it. And if they need it, you cannot treat them like prison, like animals.
Yep.
They have no... Majority, they have no prison record.
Right.
You got some Bahamians running to Florida. Do you want America to treat your Bahamians like that?
Yep.
We got Bahamians migrated in my state right now. Their friends are migrated right now.
Absolutely. But Pumpkin Eaters, it extends beyond just the detention center. The remand center at the Bahamas Department of Corrections. People are presumed innocent until proven guilty.
That's right.
When you're on remand, you're not a convict.
That's right. And this is why we need local government in this country. That's what we try to get across to the other talk show hosts. This where local government comes, where the local community decide left and right what they want. Because the detention center is in the world in the community.
Yeah. Thank you.
The hospital's in the community.
Yep.
Prison is in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So what the other corner was what the other talk shows were talking about. That's what I was talking about.
Okay.
I'm your Pumpkin Eater. Have a good day.
Thank you, Pumpkin Eater. Let's go to the next call quickly, and then we're going to respond to all of that. Producer, I'm going to... Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, I like what Stauffer was saying as it relates to the hospital, but
mm-hmm.
I think the last caller was off. He doesn't... You see, you're talking about Bahamas migrating. The question then becomes numerology. So what is he talking about, the migration of Bahamians? We live in places and we don't go and live in the bush. I just hate, the situation at the detention center, there is a diversity in the way Bahamians are treated all around. But what I really wanted to touch on was the conversation of the day that you say in the duty of care.
Mm-hmm.
And so the duty of care, for me, would mean having intellectually honest conversations
Mm-hmm.
And stop using the media to shape people's minds and putting out facts by having deductive reasoning. That's what the duty of care, even if it's about speaking the truth, seeking the truth. And that's what the duty of care is to help the populace have informed decisions instead of man-made visions. You know, that's what life is to me. So until I die, that's what I'll try and do, because, you know, I'm sorry that if I read a lot, but I just like to put things out there. I'm not going to sit by and let people talk foolishness. Most people know foolishness when they hear it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people have to realize. And sometimes when you look back in retrospect, you see that something you said was absolutely asinine. Bless up.
Thank you, 52. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your call always. And that's a part of a duty of care, right?
Yes.
A duty of care is, a part of that is when you speak, that you measure your words. You don't engage unless you have a degree of certainty that what you're saying is correct or sound.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you just interrogating,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes we don't know the answers. But even in the questions, we have a responsibility, right? And we have a responsibility to each other to create an environment where people can make healthier decisions and choices. And part of doing that is not just sharing information, but engaging, making interventions when we think incorrect information is being shared.
I think one of our issues is Bahamians need to think that they deserve more. They need to think more of themselves,
mm-hmm.
that they are important, that they are loved, that they should demand more, right? Mm-hmm. So because people are clearly taking advantage of us as a people, but we are content with just getting the bare minimum. And I say we need to challenge and push back.
Right. We need to encourage people to, if not compel, to understand that you have inherent divinity and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And you have it. Other people have it too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because once you realize you have it, then you realize that other people have it too. Let's go to the phone line. Sorry, I missed your call, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. I would like to make a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to agree with the caller, like maybe two calls back. You know, there was an announcement by Alfred Sarah saying that a committee was going to be put together to make sure that, you know, the detention center, you know, they were treating people as, you know, they should.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all well and good. But, you know, we as a country have to be careful of the perception that, you know, others are more important than your citizens, because like CA says, you know, we do have a housing crisis. We have Bahamians that are actually suffering, and that's not okay. So, I mean, I'm sure that we have systems in place, like through the social services, but, you know, we have to be careful of the perception, I think. I think people, Bahamians, are not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
You hear about, in the news, about, oh, the, you know, the taking care of the detention center and the illegals and this and that. But, you know, the people, the actual people that are suffering here don't feel that they are having the same treatment, or, you know, or they're not being helped, you
mm-hmm.
know?
I feel you.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
So
you make a point. The countries that we're trying to be like, they will say right off the top, we prioritize our citizens first.
I'm not feeling that.
At all.
Aaron.
Now, I don't want to pit citizens versus migrants.
No. I'm just mentioning
right.
Bahamian citizenship.
And
that could be migrants who have become citizens
right.
also.
And to the caller's point, I think you made a great point. I would add on to that and expand it and say that our government tends to hear commentary like that, which is sound commentary. You can't be treating foreigners better than your own citizens. You can't be providing things for foreigners, whether they're migrants under your care, duty of care supervision, detention, whether they are tourists that you've invited to come to your country. I think the response to that, though, is make it better for your citizens. If you guarantee that your citizens have the basic amenities, then everything falls in line for migrants. And so I with you, ma'am, both you could solve your problem and my problem from your position, from your perspective and my perspective, if we prioritize Bahamians.
Today's headline in the National Guardian says economic growth out outperforms 2019, which was our best year. Now 2023 is the grand year. But our bread lines are wrapped around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
We have a proliferation of food networks feeding what I call working class behemoths, mm-hmm. right? That's a problem. We're not fixing or addressing that problem. We continue to see members of parliament now giving Thanksgiving dinner, now giving a Christmas dinner, and they brag and say, come and collect a plate of food. Something got to be wrong with that. Our people should not be wanting a plate of food. You shouldn't be bragging that you're giving us a plate of food. Something is wrong. That means we're broken. Because a plate of food is not what we elect them there for. And if the lines are increasing for people to get a plate of food, that means something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This means they ain't doing something right. Something needs to be corrected.
Let's go to these two callers and then let's take a break. Producer, good morning, caller.
Yes, how are you doing? So about that, Ms. Green, and to you, Mr. Nourish Allen Johnson.
Morning.
Yeah, I just want to comment on your housing issue.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we use almost like a collaboration of words interchangeably. But we have a social housing need, a low-cost housing need,
mm-hmm.
an affordable housing need, as well as an attainable housing need.
Mm-hmm.
These are accomplished even not by targeting supposedly the millionaires in the country. It simply requires legislation, policies, program, procedures, and processes to be put in place to make it an attractive investment.
Mm-hmm.
For individuals, whether locally or internationally. The problem is that the investments in the Bahamas have now moved into the luxury and ultra-luxury type environment, which also, as we begin to move into this new social construct, you have individuals that are also now moving into the what we call the bed and breakfast and short-term vacation rentals, which basically exasperates the problem we have.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, the Minister of Housing almost alluded to the fact that we may be short about 80,000 housing units, which is not homes, it's housing units, as well as the need to add 2,000 to 3,000 additional units per year. The problem is that no one is speaking directly to these issues
mm-hmm.
as to how they can be solved. Just to keep prolonging this, right, but fintech, as we often talk about the need to transition to, can provide a means for even regular behemoths to enter both of the housing market as well as the tourism market or hospitality market. But we have excellent ability to make statements concerning what we're going to do, but no enabling information to how mm-hmm. it's going to be done, the 6 W's and 1 H's.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much, C. Allen. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from a break, we're going to read these texts, and then I can see if I could get a word in edgewise. It's a great conversation. I don't mind sitting back. It's one of the most important things we need to talk about, this thing called the duty of care. Producer, let's go to a break.
They ain't doing enough, Aaron.
Listen, all I could think about is how Liberated African Way became Palm Beach Drive with no public notice. We're going to a break. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302 2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does this work?
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't blame it on the alcohol, blame it on this good music, Mr. Newry. My energy is up this morning and so are the texters. I'm going to focus on the text right now before we get back to the conversation. But callers, please feel free to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for people in the family island. Because, oh, I know my family islanders could tell you a thing about a duty of care and whether the state recognizes its duty of care to people in the archipelagic exterior of the Bahamas. Caller, give me 1 second. Let me just read this one text. You know, I passed that area yesterday. This is Montague Ramp. And I flash back to years ago, going to Montague Regatta to watch the sloop racing with my daddy, all with free movement, when I noticed a Defense Force officer posted on guard, quote, I guess, I can't think of any other reason he'd be standing in the middle of nowhere in dress whites. I said to myself, look at how they take our things and make it elite only welcome. My, as my daddy would have said. That's that psychology Pumpkin Eater was talking about. Some you could control people with psychology. You don't need brute force. Caller, I am so... sorry, I missed you just now. Let's see, let's try it again. Good morning, caller.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Listen, man, I mean, I don't want to sound insensitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we as a people, we always sit back and complain about what the government is doing and what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If our government was serious about anything, they would go in parliament and legislate, whereas they could put a stop list to these immigrants from coming in this country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they just refuse to. But that's a part of their strategy. These elite people in this country know exactly what they're doing. What they're doing is keeping the cost of labor down. That's what their real concern is.
It's a labor crisis. Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
They don't worry about me and you, you know.
They're not worried about the migrants either.
Exactly, because yes, that's sir. What they got working for them.
Because mm-hmm.
if you go in every establishment right now, and I talk about everyone, majority, I say 95%, is illegal children. I have no problem with those who are legal.
Undocumented.
What they need to do now is go in parliament and make retroactive from 2010 that nobody else born in this country. Because all they do is come in and hug the children.
I could be and honest.
By the time our kids grow up, they could be the majority. Not us, because Bahamian people don't have as much children as them. They have 6 and 7 and 9 children. Some even more.
I got you. And it's something that needs to be dealt with. But
so
I could be honest with you.
Our parliamentarians need to sit down and do some legislation. That's what they need to do.
All right.
If you want to see the problem solved.
I got you.
Other than that, ain't nothing going to happen.
I got you. We got a labor crisis that the government is trying to solve with migrant labor. I want to say two things. If I was trying to grow my children up or thinking of having a family in a country where when things get hot, see, when things get hot here, a police officer has kicked somebody in the face, right? We talk about it for 7 minutes, and then the whole matter disappears. An MP is alleged to have hit a police officer with a car. We talk about it for 3 minutes, and then it disappears. In Haiti, when things get hot, people get burned and killed in tires. They get burned alive in tires. I, for one, I'm saying, at the same time, while we discuss the policies for resolution, which we absolutely have to do, I'm the one who demands that we interrogate, we get critical about everything. Let's also remember the psychology of it. Let's understand why people move. Let's not criminalize that desire for safety. Let's not criminalize that part of it, right? But I really appreciate your text, legislation and complete legislation that includes enforcement mechanisms. I saw a piece of legislation from St. Lucia yesterday, Mr. Newry, and the first page was an explanatory note for the for the bill. And each element of the bill was explained in the explanatory note in the front. When's the last time you looked at a bill, Bahamian bill? They don't even take that seriously. Okay, let's run through the text. Newry, why should Bahamians with money be responsible for building housing for illegal immigrants? I mean, migrants.
Well, we're not talking about illegal migrants, no. We're talking about Bahamians, the duty of care to Bahamians.
Right, and then we're talking about, so Bahamians prioritize, mm-hmm. and then you begin to resolve your shantytown / migrant housing crisis, mm-hmm. because those migrants who are documented in here on work permits can now, they have no excuse to say, oh, well, we couldn't find housing because we know housing is available.
Do you know how much one has to pay for a 2-bedroom apartment in Carmichael Road?
How much? $1,200?
$3,000.
No, sir.
First and last and security deposit. Carmichael Road rental unit is coming at $1,200 per month. And you double that for first and last, and
right.
then you have the security deposit. Where does a young person save up $3,000? They ain't turn on light and water yet, no.
Yeah.
You know? That's how is a working class person who making $225?
Shush, you're not.
You can't afford it.
First of all, you're supposed to know that you're poor, and you're supposed to know that you deserve nothing. And I want to say this. I'm a person who comes from privilege. In some people's eyes, I may have made mistakes in my life. I'm not at the economic level of my peers. And people let me know all the time, Mr. Newry, oh, you poor. You know what poor people deserve. Have fun. That's the attitude out here in this country. If you don't know you poor, well, let me remind you that you poor and you don't deserve nothing. That's the attitude that we have taken up as Bahamians. And the last part of that text, it says, when are we going to address the real issue with illegal immigration? Texter, if you don't tell me what you think the real issue is, I'm going to tell you what I think the real issue is. We have a housing problem. We have a labor organized. We have an organized labor crisis or shortage. We do not have enough organized labor to match the pace of development that the government wants to propel. The developers that they bring in don't want to pay the rates that are legally required to pay Bahamians. Not all of them. Not for the level of labor that they bring into the table. That's what I think the root of the crisis is. But I want you to tell me, because I don't want to put words in your mouth. Another text, Dr. Darvill needs to resign. The hospital is a disaster. But I tell you what, by May 15th, May 24th, it's a big WHO vote. It's a big WHO vote going to take place about who is responsible for nation states' pandemic protocol initiation. We can find out if Mr. Darvill, dear sir, Dr. Darvill.
Darvill can vote no.
Can resign. Better, I mean.
If he don't vote no.
We'll see. We will see. May is approaching quickly. Another text. Good morning, guys. You know what's so funny, and I'm not a part of no political parties. We as a people complain about the disservice in the country, but run to put these parties back in the house. And don't say who we will put there, because we seems to don't like change. We had DNA and COI. You may not like the person, but look at the change they're trying to make. We don't want it, so just continue to get treated like animals and sit small, because that's what you want. Now, here's the thing I want to say to political leaders, to thinkers, to change agents, right? Produce the idea. Let the idea live. I've given so many ideas to the universe. You may not be the person to bring the idea to realization or actualization.
Mm-hmm.
You may be the person to show people that the idea is real, but then you may need to let go and release and let others take the ideas forward. And people ask me why I don't be in frontline politics. I don't need to bring the idea to frontline politics. I just need to let y'all know that the idea is real. That's all. And so, yeah. Thank you, Texter. Sound text. Another text, duty of care, duty of care, duty of care, duty of care. Please give me a break with that phrase. So you don't...
They don't expect nothing. They don't value themselves. See, let me go back to my rant again. We have mega millionaires off of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Who make money from our leisure, my spare money.
Hold on. In some instances, my addiction...
Or my addiction.
Right? My crises.
Right?
Yeah.
And I believe, any reasonable person would believe that they should have a duty of care for me and mine after you take my money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm saying that a ham and turkey...
Is not sufficient. Especially when I don't have enough fridge space. I don't have a fridge to keep it longer than I could cook it.
A box of care package isn't sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
A used Japanese car isn't a sufficient. Having a rum party and food isn't sufficient, mm-hmm. right? To have politicians saying that I provided Thanksgiving dinner for my constituents is an insult, mm-hmm. especially when they're lying long.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're lying long, that means there's a social crisis that we're going through. Mm-hmm. How is it that the singing bishop could say, but I'm short food, I need more food than usual, when we have food centers popping up all over the place? Mm-hmm. That means we are in a crisis. Mm-hmm. And feeding people every day, giving people this fish food, right, isn't working. Mm-hmm. We are failing ourselves. We need to find a solution. And the solution is not giving them a plate of food every single day.
Right. The solution is shifting from charity to structural reform. Now, I got an important text here. Text, I'm so sorry I missed this text at the top of the show. Of course, Mr. Newry, we have to take a moment to say happy birthday to Rosita Duvalier from your son, who says you are the best mother in the world and the best cook in the world, and you don't put raisins in conch salad, and you don't put fruit in conch salad. You don't put raisins in coleslaw, and you don't put fruit in conch salad. And so he considers himself the most blessed man on the earth. And we say with him today, Mama, happy birthday. We are all your children today, and we hope you are having a wonderful day. Now, that text also say, Miss Green, you from Johnson Road, you ain't poor, don't lie. I didn't say I was poor, but you know who would say I was poor? My bank manager. You ask my bank manager. My bank manager knows the truth. You don't mind how I carry on the street like I's people, right? My bank manager knows the truth. Mr. Newry, I want to thank you. We have come to the end of the show today. At last text, Barbados is more independent than the Bahamas. They're a republic. Mr. Newry, that was for you. Don't worry, Mr. Newry is also, you also Bayesian, right?
No.
You sure?
I'm sure, sure. No Bayesian blood. I mean, I'm from Bayesian family.
That's your business.
Yeah, but no Bayesian blood.
You could have been one of us.
Yeah. Bim.
Lie on the form.
Yeah, I can do it, hey.
Many people just lie on the
form. I would get more benefits anyway.
Yeah. These brothers and sisters, I'm worried about it.
One Caribbean.
Producer, thank you very much. To the callers and the texters, thank you very much. This duty of care conversation is very important. Just as we go out, Mr. Newry, somebody I know posted something on social media. It said, hey, politicians like have a duty of care to lift people up out of poverty. And somebody challenged that. That's what prompted the show for me today. What is the duty of care? What is the duty of care? What is the duty of care we have to each other? Thank you so much for tuning in to On the Clock this morning. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.